All right, well, good morning. Hey, way to rock it on Labor Day weekend. You are here, you're present, and you're awesome, and you're beautiful. And it's good to see the rest of you. All right. Hey, a few things I want to do. We're going to have a time of prayer. I want to highlight something. The lady that spoke at the beginning of the video, Miss Carla. Miss Carla, if you guys ever get a chance to meet Miss Carla, she goes to the old Jacksonville campus. She is one remarkable woman. I've had an opportunity just to be in like this team with her, and she is a dynamic lady. And it's crazy is she's teaching, and she spent over 30 years teaching. And so this is what she's doing with her retirement. She's teaching. So the thing I want to make sure that you see there is many of us, God has blessed us like exponentially. And we're not just talking about like finances. I mean, many of you have been gifted with just opportunity. You've been gifted with like all these talents and treasures, these things that you know, these people that you know. And what I want to make sure that you understand is you have an opportunity with those things to steward them for the glory of God. Maybe even some experiences where you had some hard things in your past and God brought you through that. That's an opportunity to steward so that other people know about God's ability to do a work in your life. And so what I want to encourage you to do is make sure that you are good stewards of God's grace and all that he's given you, not just money. You know, we really, it seems like that's all God wants from it. No, he wants all of you. And so I want to encourage you to prayerfully just ask the Lord, hey, what do I need to steward better? And I want to encourage you to do that. The other thing too is, like, it is really hard. Sometimes what we do is we just use some apathy or we just act indifferent towards it. But like last week in Minneapolis with the shootings, that's so hard. And we need to like understand that. Like we don't need to just like push it to the side and not feel just sadness and brokenness and mourning. We need to lean in on that. Because that's a reminder of the brokenness in this world. That's a reminder of why we do what we do. And so what I want to encourage you to do is just to pray with me for those families, for the reality of evil that exists. Also, just stewarding what God has given you and that you would be a good stewards of all that he's trusted you with and make sure that you're using those things for his glory. And so let's just pray as brothers and sisters just with this burden before him. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you that we get to approach you. You are so kind to us. Lord, I pray that you would be with those in Minneapolis and surrounding areas. Lord, if there are those that know you around those families, I just pray that they would lean in and just be an extension of your kindness to those that are mourning, those that are grieving, those that are confused. Lord, I just pray that we as the body of Christ would never shirk the responsibility of interceding or bringing comfort and peace. And Father, that we would be faithful stewards of all that you've given us, all that we know, all that we've experienced, all that you've gifted us with, whether talents or spiritual gifts, Father, that we would be faithful with those things. So Lord, we approach your word today. We thank you for it. And we trust you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So one of the things I want to make sure today is going to be like super common sense. And so you guys are going to be like, well, common sense day, okay? So you may not even need to take out your notes, but maybe you do. When you come to church, one of the things you have heard if you are a regular attender to church is that you need to be studying your Bible. Anybody ever heard that? This is one of those moments you're like, heck yeah, I've heard it. I'm not going to ask you, have you done it? So that's the other one. You're like, maybe. But you've heard that it's so important to know God's word. It's so important to be inundated and saturated with the word of God. And God in his grace has provided so much truth. Like really, it's God's truth for us. There's so many things for us there. Now, here's the thing. Reality is probably about 15% of it you can, like, you don't need to like ask God's word for, you already know it, right? So God's word provides truth, common sense. Like you ask the Lord in his word, Lord, I want to pray about this. Should I have an affair? Should I pray about that? No, you shouldn't pray about that. You should know that that's not the right answer. Should I murder someone? Probably not. I don't have to pray about that one. Should I steal from my neighbor? Probably not. So these are things that are common sense. But then there's like 85% of things that we don't know the answer to, right? That we need to seek the Lord for. Like, Lord, what should I do with my life? What kind of career should I take? Lord, how should I give my money? Lord, what should I do? And how can you use me? And there's this opportunity for you to rightly understand the wisdom of God and his word as you seek him. Again, there's the simple things. But then there are the other things where you, in the word of God, begin to see like this. He just shows you and reveals himself through his word and changes and transforms your views on things and how you respond. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to be great students of the word. The other thing too, which I have found out so many times, is there is great benefit about being in a community of believers. There have been multiple times where I'm studying the word of God with other people, and as a result, I'm hearing and seeing things that I didn't hear or see before on my own. And so what I want to make sure that you have is some kind of community of believers. And just so you know, like, we have on Monday afternoons, we have preaching team, which me and the other pastors from Grace, we get together and we're looking at this text of scripture together. And I promise you, there are times where I'm like, I have studied the text. I know the text really, really well. And then one of my brothers who's been studying these same texts are bringing out something that I never even thought about. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to make a commitment to the Lord of just knowing his word. Now, what we're looking at here in the close of 2 Timothy is this letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. It's like the end of the road, it seems, we're going to show in a moment for Paul. But for Timothy, he has this call that he's been given to shepherd and pastor there in Ephesus. But the reality is there is a lot of pushback from false teachers. There's a lot of hard things happening. And so he wants to just encourage him. So what he does first, and we're going to deal with this verse 14 to 17, is this anchoring truth. And then he's going to deal with the thing he wants him to do. Okay? So anchoring truth number one. Verse 14, but as for you, he speaks from Paul to Timothy, continue. And you're like, why are we leaning on this? Well, that word continue is the same word we have in John 15, where it says abide. This idea of remaining in, staying connected to. And what does he encourage him to abide in? Abide in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Stay connected to, anchored to, depending upon what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. Like, you know the people that taught it to you, your mother, your grandmother, him, the Apostle Paul, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now, real quick, I want to pause. Sacred writings, and it's going to say the word of God here, in reference directly in this moment, context, setting, everything, from Paul to Timothy, he is referring to the Old Testament, okay? We have, by God's grace, the full counsel of God's word. We have the New Testament. But I want you to see something really important here, that even though he's talking about the New Testament, the Old Testament, he is saying that in the Old Testament, you're about to see this revealed truth that's even in the Old Testament. Notice with me. He says, acquainted with the sacred writings, which the sacred writings, the Old Testament, are able to make you wise, which means to know and understand, for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. These Old Testament teachings are able to show you your salvation that is only provided in the person and work of Christ Jesus. The Old Testament does that. And one way that I've been reminded is that Jesus is the lamp in which we can rightly see the Old Testament. He helps us rightly see what God has done. So, for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, so you know that is true, and then he kind of restates it, and he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. The Spirit of God breathes out this word, and it is profitable. It benefits teaching about God. It benefits reproof, letting you know about sin. It is profitable for correction so that you know how to respond to sin in your life. And it is profitable for training in righteousness about how you should respond to Christ, the righteousness that is sent from God. And here's why, that the man of God may be equipped. suited, prepared for every good work. So again, the Word of God is breathed out by God, and it benefits for teaching so that you know who God is, reproof so that you know about the sin that exists in your life and others, knows about correction, how to respond to sin, and for training in righteousness about how to respond in Christ, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Notice, for every good work. The things that God has called you to do, the Word of God prepares you for. And then I want you to see this transition from the end of chapter 3 to chapter 1, but the thread of thought is the same. So he gives him this anchoring point, and now he says, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Now he's establishing like this audience with him. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. And speaking of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, meaning that he will return. And when he returns, there is a judgment to be had, one in which will separate believers from unbelievers. Like when he returns, for some of us, we will be like, praise the Lord. We get to be with him for eternity. Like, praise God. The rest, those who don't believe, will be separated and will experience destruction. This is a gift. So we see this. Now, to back that up just briefly, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The only way that good is an option for us is the finished work of Christ and his righteousness alone. We need to know that there is a judgment for those who don't know the Lord, those who rejected Christ. So, in light of that charge that he's given him in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, he encourages Timothy to do this. And here's what he's to do. Preach the word. Preach it. Preach the word. Herald is the idea. Herald the word. It's the idea of a town crier, so to speak, one who would come in and communicate, the battle is won, we are victorious. The idea of heralding here is to tell of what has been done. Communicate, Christ is on the throne, in him we're victorious. Herald the good news. So that's what Timothy's to do. And by God's grace, in the way that he has gifted you and called you in ministry, whatever that is, whether it is preaching or teaching or serving, whatever it is, we are to herald this word with the opportunities God has stewarded for us to do. Some of you are firemen, and there at the firehouse, you're sitting there, and you've got days that nothing is happening, praise God. And then there are days that are super hard, and then you're debriefing those super hard days, and you could talk about the goodness and the redemption of Christ even in those moments. Those of you who are coaches or teachers can talk about like, hey, if only these kids knew what we know about God and his redemption. You see, you could steward the days, preaching and heralding the word. Now, this is how to do it. And each of these things that I'm about to read are imperatives in the text, meaning they are commands. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then it gives a list, like list to do, right? But the first thing I want you to see is be ready in season and out of season. So you ask, like, when is that? Well, like the old song says, every day that ends in Y. Be prepared every day. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where your preparation, you didn't realize how important like preparing before the situation was. Coach speak, right? If you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. That's real good grammar. So last night, to my chagrin, LSU outdid my Clemson Tigers. And it was okay. I was in mourning a little bit. And so there in the fourth quarter, which is super cool, I was just having my moment, just kind of coaching my son, one of my boys. I was like, hey, it's okay. After this play, it's over. And we get a call from my wife, who is in Missouri with our other son. And it was his senior game where the parent walks the kid in senior day and all that kind of stuff and announces him. But I had this thing to do on Sunday, so I couldn't make it. So anyways, so she calls And he's been there 4 years, and he has been a very good bench warmer the entire time, excellent bench warmer. But last night he got his first touchdown. It's cool. Now, real quick, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. He went in because he's been practicing the plays for 4 years. He caught the ball because he's been practicing catching the ball for 4 years. He ran the touchdown because he's been practicing doing that for 4 years. That's a blip of importance on the radar of life. A blip's a compliment. You and I need to understand that as we study and seek God's face in his word, we need to be prepared always to give a defense, always to testify, because you never know when the moment pops up. I mean, it's crazy. I've had the moment where really all I want to do is pump gas. Like the other week, on my sabbatical, I wanted to go in and get an Italian burrito. Anybody? Italian burritos? Also known as a calzone. Or if you do it a certain way, a stromboli. Same thing. A wrapped up pizza, an inside out pizza, or outside in pizza. Outside, that's what it is, outside in pizza. So I go in and I'm wearing the college at Grace shirt. Okay? I may have shared this with a couple of you, right? And the guy says to me, "What is College at Grace?" And I was like, "It's this ministry or church." And I'm just there, you know, my first, like I got there late that night before. I woke up a little late, go to get my Italian burrito right by the Safeway grocery store. And I go in because I like to hit places I've never been before. And the t-shirt is the thing that sets off the moment. And he begins to ask me about the love of God. Why, his coworkers right there. And I had an opportunity in that moment with Craig and Daniela, who had just broken up with her boyfriend she had for 4 years because he's in prison now, to talk about and testify about the love of God and pray for that girl over my Italian burrito. And testify really about God's love, that God's love even points out falsehood. And it was a really good Italian burrito. It was the best one I'd ever had. I want to tell you, you never know. And so it's so important that you know God's word, that you're in community, that you're connected with studying his word, because you never know when the moment will pop up and you have to lean in and proclaim the word to herald what God has done. How to do it? Again, reprove, you show the error. You don't avoid it, you reprove, you show the error. Second thing is you rebuke, you correct the error. You're like, "Hey, look, I understand this is what you're doing. This is how we turn from that. This is how we change that. This is how we no longer live that way." And then the third thing is we exhort, which means we build beyond the error. A lot of us lean in really good. We have no balance. We lean in on the reprove, like, "You are such a sinner." And we rebuke them. "You need to correct that. Turn or burn, get right or get left." If you know those jokes, then you're as old as I am, okay? So that's the thing, but we don't exhort. We don't build beyond the error. We don't let them know that there is a better life, and let me walk with you to that point of correction so that we don't have to live or look like this anymore. Like Jesus said in John 8, "Go and sin no more." You have an opportunity to be different. And to do this, he says, each of these imperatives, with complete patience and teaching. Parents, how many times have you said the same thing to your kids? And it seems like it's not getting through. If you are going to be committed as a follower of Jesus who knows and studies God's word, which we're called to do, if you're going to do that, you need to know that those who you're going to love enough to tell this truth to, you're going to have to do it with complete patience, right? And teaching. You will have to say the same thing over and over and over. Right? There's this line of the song that's really been ministering to me lately. "Infinity is just the floor." So, how to do it? We do it as people who are prepared, we're equipped. We do it intelligently with a thoughtful response, with careful instruction. We do it practically right? So that others will see how it will change their life as it has our life. We do it patiently, as you would want someone to do with you. And we do it balanced, meaning we don't lean in on reprove, rebuke, and exhorting without doing all three. Make sense? Because some of us are really good with the reprove and rebuke, but we need to be really good at the exhort too. Okay? And the question is, so we get what to do, we to preach the word, we get how to do it, but now why do we do it? Verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will not put up with the truth. And so what they're going to do? They have itching ears, and so they will accumulate for themselves to suit their own passion. So they will get a bunch of hype people in their life, and they will surround themselves with an echo chamber that only hypes up and pours into their storyline, their narrative that they want. And that's what they'll get. They'll tell them what they want to hear. They'll agree with their choices. They won't challenge the mistakes. And they will allow them, and they will give them the keys to the car and the gas for the tank to their destruction. And that's many of us in this room. We feel like we're loving people by enabling their behavior. We're like a matador. And there is a bull of destruction heading towards those you love, and all you're doing is going, ole. And these people will turn away. This word turn away is the word used for taking a limb out of joint. It is disconnecting a person from truth, from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. This is what's happening. This is why we herald the truth of what God has done. This is how we do it. We do it with reproving. We do it with rebuking. And we do it with exhorting. We let them know that it is sin, that it will harm them. We let them know, here's how we're to turn from that error. And we let them know how we can live in opposition to that error. And there's real life on the other side of sin. Real life. And then he gets personal. Just for a second, a little sidebar, it seems, in verse 5, Paul to Timothy, as for you, always be sober-minded. Like, have a right size understanding of who you are and what you bring to the table. Many of us are either inflated, the view of ourselves, and so we've got like, I'm really great. And then we got the other people like, I'm really terrible. Right? We're never right about ourselves. And most of us sound just like I just sounded. Okay? But like, we're on these extremes and we don't have a sober, right view of who we are. And then we forget too this great detail about your identity. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that means you are different. So be sober-minded about who you are in Christ. I mean, think about this. Many of us want to be the kind of people that really are used of God in a variety of ways. We just underestimate his ability to do it in us. We believe it's great for other people. Our favorite Bible stories are like David and Goliath. Man, look what he can do. And then we think, there's no way he can do it with me. Be sober-minded. The same God that led him is the same God that leads you. Endure suffering. If you're going to be like locked in on what God's made you to do in proclaiming his word and doing it in a way that's reproving, rebuking, right, and exhorting, if you're going to do it because the need is great, because people are desperate, you're going to have to endure suffering. You're going to have to do the work of an evangelist, always talking about the hope of Jesus, and you need to fulfill your ministry. And here's the thing. This is what I love. Most of us in this room are not being obedient when it comes to fulfilling our ministry. It does not have to be some grandiose idea where people write about our missions, like opportunities that we took advantage of. Sometimes it's just in the faithfulness of being a really good grandmother who points to Jesus. I mean, straight up, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life is when my mom married Jack Jenkins, my stepdad. Because his mama, Lucille Jenkins, every time I was in that woman's presence, talked about Jesus in front of me. Every time. Even when she was getting me with a switch. And if you know what a switch is, that's real life. It's even crazier when she makes you pick out the one you think would benefit you. Bamboo branches are not great. Lesson learned. But I'm telling you, I am able to see and understand the love of Jesus because of Lucille Jenkins. Lucille Jenkins never preached behind a pulpit. Lucille Jenkins never went in another country on a mission trip, but Lucille Jenkins was a faithful grandmother who modeled faith wherever she was. And my kids today get to benefit from that, even though only one of them ever met her. Be faithful to the ministry that God gives you. Fulfill it. Finally, Paul says, he's like, you do this, Timothy. And he says, of himself. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. A drink offering, we see in Numbers 15, was what would accompany the sacrifice of a lamb. And Paul is saying, I'm a drink offering. And the time of my departure, the time of my leaving has come. I have, and notice these two metaphors here, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith, meaning I have endured despite opposition. So henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. So as a result of me continuing to endure and God working through me, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And it would be like so okay, it seems, for Paul to go, period. And that's the end of the story. Here's something I want you to catch. Remember, what we're to do, we're to preach the word. How do we do it? Faithfully enduring through reproving, through rebuking, through exhorting. Why do we do it? Well, as verses 2 and 3 said, because people are desperate. And they're like surrounding themselves with a bunch of people where they have itching ears and they accumulate people that really okay their own passions. That's why we do it. But here's the thing. There are actually two other reasons why we preach this word the way we do. The first one, if you go back with me, I want you to see this. The first one's back in verse 1. One of the reasons why we do this is because there will be a day where in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus will judge the living and the dead. That's one reason why we preach this word. The second reason we've already covered, because people are desperate. The third reason why we preach this word, I want you to see this in verse 8. Again, Paul says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So this crown of righteousness exists, which is, if you're getting a crown of righteousness, that means you're there with a person of righteousness who is able to distribute them, which is Christ Jesus himself. It's in which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. But here's the detail. Why do we do it? We don't just do it because there is a judgment. We don't just do it because people are desperate. We also do it because those who have loved his appearing receive the reward too. You and I have an opportunity to not just transform lives for this side of eternity, but we get to prepare people for the judgment that will come. We get to prepare people because they're desperate for truth. They're just looking for it in the wrong place. And we get to do this because there's a reward for those who long for and love his appearing. The problem is many of us have been sitting on our hands, thinking it's somebody else's job. Well, I'm here to tell you as your brother, this is a body of Christ call, and each of us have a part contribution in the body of Christ to do what God has called us to do to fulfill your ministry. For Lucille Jenkins, for Carla Foreman, they're doing theirs. Are you being faithful with that? To preach the word, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort? Are you being faithful to that because there is a judgment? Are you being faithful with that because people are desperate? Are you being faithful with that because there is a day where we will receive a reward? If you're not, I want to invite you today before the Lord, by his mercy, as we talked about last week, to repent, to be like intercepted, to meet the intersection of the way you've been living with the way that we should be living, and to have a repentant, a change of mind that alters both your behavior, right, and your attitude. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this. Thank you for this moment where we as brothers and sisters get to seek your face through your word, see how it reaches us right here, right now. We know the obvious things of what we shouldn't do or things we should do. But Lord, there are some other things, and I just pray that you would give us the commitment to seek you in your word, to learn those things. Help us understand the gift of community we already have to help us. And Lord, help us be faithful stewards of these things. We love you and we trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing.